So I'm joined today by Karen Doyle of Choices Media and the co-founder of the Sisterhood Women's Movement. So thanks for joining me, Karen.
Oh, you're welcome. It's nice to be with you.
Now, it may seem a little bit strange, but today we're going to talk about femininity, which is probably a bit bizarre because that's not usually my department. That's usually Sarah's department. However, Sarah's currently taking a well-earned break visiting family. So I'm stuck here as a man delving into an area that men don't usually delve into, but I'm sure I'll learn a lot today. We'll see how I go. Now, first of all, I just wanted to bring up something that I sort of saw come across my Facebook yesterday, interestingly enough, and it was from the May edition of Harper's Bazaar. I had to explain it was on Facebook so people don't think I read Harper's Bazaar.
Yeah, that's probably a good point to clarify.
In my spare time. And it was from Kirsten Dunst, actress, probably know her best from Spider-Man, films like that. And she said something quite interesting on the notion of femininity in our contemporary age, and that was, I feel like the feminine has been a little undervalued. We all get our own jobs and make our own money, but staying at home, nurturing, being a mother, cooking, it's a valuable thing my mum created. And sometimes you need your knight in shining armor. You need a man to be a man and a woman to be a woman. That's why relationships work. Now, that's a very controversial statement, I think, today, because I think there's a bit of a temptation to, in an effort to create the just equality between men and women, to assume that there is actually no difference, that men and women should strive for power and responsibility in what I think are quite masculine terms. However, I know that as Catholics, and I know that you, as a woman who wants to present, say, John Paul II's view of masculinity and femininity, that you would agree more with Kirsten Dunst's line. Did you want to make a comment about that?
Yeah, look, I think I had a look up. I looked up the article, and I think it's a really interesting point because men and women actually do need one another, and to suggest otherwise is quite outrageous, as you've pointed out. But it's very... it's a real cultural push, actually, that for women to be independent and to be self-sufficient, that we don't need a man. It's quite a common theme in our culture. But if we go back and we look at theology of the body, we look at John Paul II's view on this, he actually says that right from the beginning, man and woman are called to come alongside one another in a relationship of complementarity rather than competition. And I think wherever we see that competition and those fingerprints, we know that that is not God's plan for us, that we are actually designed to be one another's friend, helpmate, and complementary partner. And if we go back to Genesis, we see that the man and woman are called to be a gift to one another. And I often speak at the annual Young Men of God conference, and I make the point to the men that the word helpmate does not mean slave and domestic help, as they might like to think sometimes, but it actually translated, that word helpmate means divine aid. And man and woman are called to be one another's divine aid. John Paul II points out that it is in relationship with one another that we actually learn what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman, the essence of our being. And we only discover that by being in relationship with one another. So I like her statement, you need a man to be a man and a woman to be a woman, and that's what makes relationships work. And I think she's spot on with that comment.
I guess my next question would be, what does it mean for a woman to be a woman?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think there's a lot of women out there trying to work that out. A lot of confusion. I know speaking at the men's conferences, a lot of the men have lost their way in terms of trying to work out how to relate to women. And then when I speak to women, they're sort of mentioning the same issues. And I think, obviously, the resource that I've done is the fruit of my journey and my work with people as well. But what it means to be a woman, I think it's about engaging on a deep existential level, firstly with the fact that we are the beloved daughter of God, that he has created us as women with a great intentionality. It was intended. Men and women aren't just randomly, they don't just come about randomly from the splitting of cells. Our femininity, your masculinity, is intended by God. And I think the beautiful journey that we all have here on Earth is growing into that, learning to understand that, learning to understand the vocational nature of our gender. And part of the resource and part of my heart for women is to help them understand that femininity is vocational, that it has a purpose, it has an intention, and helping women to really understand and to live that. Because I think when we live our vocation, that's where we really find joy and happiness and peace, not in all the other things that we chase.
Mm. So then how can women really live out that femininity?
Yeah, I think it comes back to an invitation and accepting an invitation to kind of come on a journey, if you like. And I talk about this in the resource about the journey being that of discovery. I know that I picked up John Paul II's apostolic letter, Mulieris Dignitatem, when I was 26, and that was years after it had been written. I think I was in grade 8 when it was written, and I had attended Catholic schools, youth groups, and I'd never come across it. And so I think for myself, it's been obviously many years of discovering that. And I think each woman is invited on that journey of discovery. So sorry, Luke, you might have to ask me that question again because I've got off on a tangent.
No, I was just asking about how women can live out that sense of femininity that you were describing.
Yeah, look, I think John Paul II is really big on this, women connecting with their genius, he calls it, and he's referred to the qualities that are unique to being women as the feminine genius. And in his apostolic letter, and his letter to women, he says, I invite you to reflect with me on what it means to speak of the genius of womanhood. And I think those qualities that he speaks about, there's not a one-size-fits-all kind of definition of femininity, that everyone will manifest these qualities in their own unique way. But because of our nature of design, because of our life-bearing capacity, whether this is actualized or not, women then it gives rise to certain qualities that we have, these spiritual qualities. And some of those are receptivity, sensitivity, generosity, and most obviously maternity. So there's just some of the qualities, I guess, of femininity. And I think for women, it's about identifying those in your life, about being receptive to what God is doing, about him revealing, I guess, your nature to you and coming to peace with that, and then offering that to others as a gift.
A lot of the time when we talk about things like masculinity and femininity, I find that what it can sometimes be reduced to is this sense of men go out and work, women stay at home. And that can really cause a lot of tension today because we find that, first of all, women tend to be better at university in certain areas, and that there's a lot more women who are excelling at school and want to go out and live out in the workforce. And then comes to marriage, and we can give as Catholics the impression that we're saying, well, too bad, stay at home.
Yeah.
Is the Catholic message about masculinity and femininity as, for want of a better word, simplistic, as simply practical applications in terms of employment and that kind of thing?
Yeah, look, I don't think so. I think, going back to these qualities, like women have our physical structure gives rise to spiritual aspects of our personality. Now, one of those is our maternity. So women's lives are, because of the way our body is structured to bear life, we have what John Paul II says, a other-centered nature, that we are more focused on the other and human life and nurturing and relationship, that sort of thing. Now, he also says that women are needed in all aspects of society. So I think we've got to be really careful in terms of boxing people and genders and stages of life, because I know, going back a little bit, like for a woman who is married with her children, and this is a season that I'm in, I have three children under the age of 6, and my primary vocation, my primary role is to serve them and to love and to nurture them. Now, obviously, I'm down here doing an interview with you while Jonathan is upstairs looking after the kids. And so we have a great setup where we support one another. So he'll support me while I might do a project. But if as women we're stepping out and we are working in employment outside of the home and we have children, we need to be very careful about what's coming first. So I think rather than asking where women should be and what their place should be, it's more about their priorities. So if they are married and if they have children, then that needs to be their first priority. Now, they may well work as well, but that work should never come before their vocation as a mother. If that quite answers your question.
Yeah, no, it does.
I think that's really important because a lot of women think that they have to gain this sense of satisfaction and find a sense of identity in what they do in their work. But I think for women, a great challenge for us and perhaps for men as well is our identity actually being in our being and our being loved by God. So, I think it's really tricky. Motherhood definitely has demands and challenges and can be difficult at times. It can be lonely for some women, but it's our first and foremost priority when we have those children. And we can still work and we can still pursue projects, but they always have to be number one.
Probably just going with a little bit of speculation here, but Pope Francis has really been emphasizing this idea of women having a greater role in the church. And, you know, there's people who've said, oh, maybe he means, you know, women priests or women cardinals or things like that. And he's quite clearly in certain interviews said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. What do you think he's talking about?
I think he's saying that, as John Paul II said in Evangelium Vitae, the Gospel of Life, that women play a crucial, irreplaceable role in the transformation of culture, and that women, even if their mothers at home with their children, are called to transform the culture of death that we have, in which human life and love is not valued, into a culture of life and love. And what I think Pope Francis is saying is that women need to step up, step into that role, step into the places wherever they're planted, wherever they're called to be, and to offer their femininity, their womanhood as a gift. So that may be in the life of the church, it may be out in the workforce, it may be simply in the home, in the everyday routine of raising a family. It might be through ministry, it could be through any number of things, but women need to be present. John Paul II is really big on this. Without the presence of women, culture is impoverished and it is also dehumanized. And so I think Pope Francis, one of the things he said is that we really need to keep going, keep developing this theology of womanhood that I guess Edith Stein, John Paul II really developed. And Pope Francis, I've heard a number of times, really encourage women to go further with that.
I really like that image that the mother is quite possibly one of the most formidable cultural forces in society. I really like that because it's true. I mean, they're raising children. Raising the next generation.
Yes.
Just bringing it still within the kind of Catholic context, where do consecrated women fit into all this?
Well, I think, I mean, in John Paul II's apostolic letter, he talks about spiritual motherhood. So when we talk about this gift of maternity that we have, it's not limited in the biophysical sense. Every woman's vocation is to motherhood. And for consecrated women, that is a spiritual motherhood, and they play a very, very important role in the life of the church and in the lives of both men and women in terms of nurturing, supporting the priests, coming alongside the priests in the church, coming alongside the men and the women, and really spiritually mothering them in a different way to how, I guess, we are mothered by our physical mothers.
Now, of course, the reason why you know so much about this is not just because you're part of Choices Media or the co-founder of the Sisterhood Women's Movement, but you were referring a little bit in there to a resource that you've produced called the Genius Project. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. Look, it's been a project that's probably been 10 years in the making, and it's very much about unpacking Mulieris Dignitatum and this idea of the feminine genius. Personally, I felt that when I came across John Paul II's document, it really transformed my life. My marriage obviously has then flowed into my raising of my children and the ministry that we do. And I really, my heart is that all women would be able to access the incredible richness of John Paul II's teachings on women, because more than any of his predecessors, he spoke very publicly and he was very pastoral towards women. And I guess my real heart is that sometimes the church has the best product in the world with the worst marketing department. and the fact that these letters and these encyclicals were written probably 20 years before, you know, many people have even heard of them, says a lot. For myself, it was 15 years, is really tragic, because they just contain such treasures for us as men and women. I think for men as well, really understanding the nature of femininity, the nature of women, empowers men then to call women on, not to put them down, but to really affirm them and bring, call forth those qualities, and also for women to really understand, accept and be affirmed. Because I think a lot of the qualities of femininity can be seen as social limitations, or in, you know, can lead to inequality, or there's something to be ashamed of. And I think there's this underlying idea and theme in women's lives that they, who they are, their womanhood is a problem, that they're either too much or they're not enough, that they attract too much attention or not enough attention. And what John Paul II was saying, and what he does in the whole of theology of the body, in fact, is to offer us a paradigm shift in our thinking. And in Mulieris Dignitatum and his teachings on women, he's doing that. He's saying to women, far from being a problem, you are in fact an answer. And I think that's probably the crux of the resource, is encouraging women, telling women that they are an answer, that their femininity, their womanhood is an answer to so many of the problems that exist in our culture. So the resource is a DVD. It's in four parts. Each part goes for 25 minutes and it comes with personal discussion guides. So it can be used for personal use or in a group setting, so in Bible study groups or retreat days. It's even been used in schools. So, yeah, that's a little bit about it anyway.
That sounds fantastic. I hope that, I don't know, maybe Jonathan already has and I'm going to look like a bit of a ditz here, but could do something for men as well.
Well, he hasn't actually yet, so there you go.
There we go. That's something.
Oh, we have done the Men We Need, actually. I do lie. Yep. We did a schools project a couple of years ago called The Men We Need, and it's a 7-part resource for boys, yeah, and for young men.
Okay, excellent. Well, it looks like you've got it all covered then. So thank you very much for joining me, Karen. I hope I didn't sort of seem like too much of a doofus man feminine.
I think it's fantastic. You know, a few years ago at the Young Men of God conference, they asked me to speak about understanding the heart of a woman, or the key, sorry. There was one talk called The Key, and I laughed with them. I said, you're deluded if you think there's only one key. But I just think it's so beautiful when men really expose themselves to this as well, because John Paul II had a great quote when he said, life is co-educative, men and women educating one another about what it means to be a human person. So you didn't at all. It was lovely to speak with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I pray that everything goes well with you and Jonathan, and God bless.
Great. Thanks.